that's enough of that. Thank you. All right. We got there eventually. I wish it could be Christmas every day. Do you? Today is Christmas in some parts of the world. Here, in the church's calendar, it's actually Epiphany, which is the revelation of the presence of God in the infant Jesus. We had a verse on at the beginning of the service. Words from Jesus himself. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? And then we have this nice Christmas story. But is it a nice Christmas story? Do you know, I always wonder if Joseph was of the house of David and Mary was of the house of David and they had to go back to Bethlehem because that's where the family home was, why were they looking for an inn? Because they'd already been rejected. Mary had been rejected according to common law. She was a virgin who was only betrothed. She wasn't married yet, and yet she was carrying a child. Had she been rejected by her family? And what about Joseph? In everyday language, he might be called a cuckold. But let's have a look at Matthew 1, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. I'm going to read through it. Please read with me if you would like to. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Just before we go to the next verse, actually, under Jewish law, if he really pressed the point, he could have had her stoned to death. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Compassion to start with. Thank you, Colin. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That was important for Jesus to be named by his adopted father. God bless all those who are willing to adopt somebody else's child. and love them and bring them up in a good, loving home. And he gave him the name Jesus. And so we have this picture of Christmas. We see it probably less now than we used to, but on school assemblies, an innkeeper coming in and saying, no, sorry, no. There was one little lad who was playing the innkeeper and said, yeah, come in. But we see, have this picture, and it's a very cozy picture. It's always a very big stable. And there's all sorts of animals, and there's shepherds, and there's angels, and there's three fellas all dolled up in regalia. And it's not real at all. It's not real. It's a picture. It's a caricature. It's the sugar coating on a huge story. And yet we could say, well, if that's all the children get, then that's better than nothing. I suppose so. Epiphany is what happened after Jesus was born. Epiphany is the arrival of people from an Arab nation somewhere over in the east of Israel, possibly somewhere where Abraham came from. So there is a link. They're called magi because they study the stars. Now these days, we can differentiate between astronomy and astrology. Astronomy is the physical study of the stars, the universe, etc. Astrology is seeking to find some kind of meaning about the movement of the planets. And that's not part of our Christian belief at all. And yet, just as the Lord spoke to Joseph in his situation, so the Lord also spoke to magi, wise men in the east. Let's read it together. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, take care. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. But let's see where it was. On coming to the house. Stable? Where's the stable gone? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. This is the epiphany moment. Visitors from another culture, from another part of the world, from a different religion, see the Christ child and are moved to bow down and worship him. For me, this is the fundamental part of the Christmas story. It's in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew is telling us the story of what happened from Joseph's point of view. He knows Joseph. We don't know how, but he knows Joseph. Just like in Luke's Gospel, which is where we get most of our Christmas story from, Luke had met Mary, probably at Ephesus, where she was living with John's family. Only Mary could have told Luke her side of her testimony. Bear in mind that the Gospels are testimonies. Mark doesn't mention the birth of Jesus. Mark starts off his gospel with the beginning of Jesus' ministry and his baptism. The fourth gospel, John, he picks up this point but recognizes that the Christ child is one and the same as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that this is the Word of God made flesh. And so John's Gospel talks about he was in the world before the world began. The Word of the Father. So we come back to Matthew's account. And these wise men. To be honest, we don't know how many. There might have been two. We know there was more than one. Everybody thinks there were three. Doesn't say there were three. There might have been five or six of them. There could have been a whole retinue of people who were determined to see this event. We think there were three because they brought three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. There's a lot of speculation as to the relevance and the meaning of these three gifts. They perhaps signal something. On the children's nativity play, we see the three wise men, or three kings, each with a parcel beautifully wrapped. That's out of our tradition of Christmas presents. It says, they opened their treasures. So they looked around all that they had brought with them. and they've got gold, and they've got incense, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if you've ever been to a Middle Eastern country, we have relatives who live in Oman. And you go into the souk, and there are shops there full of gold. Because the Arabic people don't trust banks, and so they put their wealth in gold and carry it around with them. Frankincense is very, very useful if you're in the desert. Because if you're in the desert, you're on a long journey, how do you wash your clothes? Any ideas? Well, you make a little barbecue and you put some frankincense on it and you get a little wooden structure like a clothes horse and you place your robes over it and the incense purifies the clothes. Frankincense is very, very useful for people in the desert. Well, what's myrrh? Myrrh looks rather like frankincense. And it is also a tree resin. These kind of trees are the trees that grow in southeast of the Middle East. In fact, Oman is the leading producer of both frankincense and myrrh. They may well have come from there. I don't know. But myrrh is a spice. It is used in burials, as frankincense is. But it's also an analgesic. And if you're having to travel through the desert with your child who is teething, it's very, very useful for a child who is teething. You rub it on the gums. I want to put it to you that these were three very, very useful gifts. Gold to help them get to where they're going. Frankincense to keep them fresh and clean. And myrrh to stop them hurting. Because the wisdom of these visitors is such that they have already assessed King Herod's hatred of what has happened. They've already sensed that I may go and worship him. They know full well he has no intention of coming to worship him. He wants to do him harm. But these visitors have no doubt in their own mind that this is God in the flesh. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. Let's move on, Colin, please. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Joseph was warned in a dream. The Magi were warned in a dream. Does God speak to non-believers? It's pulling quite a lot of our conceptions in different directions, isn't it? When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Here is the Exodus in reverse. God's people were saved from Egypt. The Lord God in Christ Jesus was saved by taking him to Egypt. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So this could be 2 years after the birth of Jesus. A different placing, a different time. This is a child in the house. Maybe the family had relented of their suspicion of Mary and Joseph and what they'd been up to and had accepted them. We hope that that's the case, that there was an acceptance. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I grew up in Manchester, in South Manchester, in a place called Withington. And we went to church in another part called Fallowfield. It's strange that the city of Manchester has got these little villages, all part of it, and they still got their village names. But in Fallowfield there was a church, an Anglican church, that was called the Holy Innocents. And we knew it as Holy Innocents. And it wasn't for many years until I realized that the church was dedicated to the memory of these holy innocents who gave their lives at the time when Jesus' life was being saved. Let's go on, please. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Now, I've searched all through the Bible and I can't find a prophecy that says he will be called a Nazarene. Can anyone help me? I've done some research and I found that it's a little bit similar to a saying that we have that it includes a place name. We have a saying, "Sent to Coventry." Being a Nazarene, apparently, can be a similar kind of title. Do you know why? I was surprised to find out that there was a Roman garrison at Nazareth, and no Jewish people wanted to live there. But presumably they needed carpenters. And so Joseph had to go where he could work. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? There are lots and lots of references to Old Testament prophecy that's fulfilled in the birth and the life of Jesus. And many of them appear in the gospel accounts themselves. But I think that what means the most for me is that Jesus knew what it was to be despised and rejected right from an early age, because his mother and his adopted father had also experienced all that. So if you're feeling that you're despised and rejected, you're in very good company. It's not much of a reassurance at the moment, but you are. You're in good company. The majority of the references, and I don't think we've got time to go there, Colin, because it's time for coffee. The majority of the references are in the book of Isaiah. And the references are to the servant of the Lord, often called the suffering servant of the Lord. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, he went back to the garrison town, Nazareth, and there he stood up in the synagogue. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unfolding it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he wasn't just quoting scripture, he knew it firsthand. So whenever you feel in the depths, Jesus has been there, and he will be with you and help you be lifted out. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. I'm sure Brian will be very happy to pray with anyone who'd like to pray that through. It's really good. Thank you. Let's bless each other, shall we, with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please do stay for coffee. Ladies, there's a meeting at 6 tonight here. 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you very much.